This is F1 Debrief. It's going to be like the Flintstones. Coming up this week, we discuss the smallest bit of politics possible, some silly season rumours, and an actual driver contacts us. We're struggling for news this week, really.
It's not a lot going on.
No, and I think there won't be any news next week either because it's Hungary.
Right, that's a bit mean.
Well,
something might happen. It's looking to be a very hot race.
Is it?
In Hungary. I'm looking forward to that one.
Well, by my books, there's not any excitement in F1 for about 6 weeks.
Goodness me. Should we just go on a holiday?
Yeah. Good week, bad week. It's been a good week for Mark Webber, as Red Bull are keen to sign him up again for next year alongside Vettel. I don't know whether this is directly related to his win, but that must have helped. Also, the Australian had more surgery on his leg, which in itself isn't good news, but overall is the next stage upon the path to recovery.
Yeah, he did. We saw him stumble when he jumped out of his car.
Yes, silly man.
Celebrating his win.
So jumped from a great height.
He's not perfect, but he's getting better each and every day.
It's been a bad week for Heikki Kovalainen, as he was made to look like a fool on a child's bike. We spotted some pictures, which we'll link to in the show notes, of him and Lewis taking part in a promo shoot for a new clotheswear line for Marks and Spencers called Living the Dream. We don't know what it'll look like, but they were wearing their overalls, so they obviously don't like the clothes that much.
It's a kids' wear line, so I don't think, despite how tiny Heikki is, I don't think that he'd fit in the kids' wear line. And you're right, he looked a bit silly. It was almost Troy-esque in the ridiculousness of the advertising stunt.
It's been a good week for Kurs because even though it is slowly dying out, McLaren have said they'll run it all season long. It's an integral part of their car, and Whitmarsh says to change it would mean redesigning the whole car, and he'd prefer their resources to be focused on 2010.
Also, they were awesome at the start of the last race.
And help them.
That is an advantage, and you wouldn't want to see that. I mean, you heard all the other drivers around them being quite scared, the fact that they had Kurs cars lining up behind them. It's an advantage. McLaren have made it work for them, so they'd be fools to drop it, I'd say.
It's been a bad week for the German GP, as Nürburgring say they don't want to host it full-time, and with Hockenheim pulling out, the future is uncertain. I think we predicted this when the Hockenheim news first came out, but it ties in nicely with Ecclestone's comments today that the British GP could be on alternating tracks as well, Donington and Silverstone.
Yeah, this isn't smart at all, is it? And I cannot see either Donington or Silverstone going for this idea.
Well, Damon Hill, definitely not in favour. He says, I think it's an insult. I'm in favour of the contract for the British Grand Prix being negotiated with Silverstone because I don't believe that the Donington project is viable.
Good. It's good to see track owners standing up to Bernie because they've been needing to do this for a very long time. And with Germany standing up and making their voice heard, and the same with...
Well, Damon Hill's got nothing to lose.
Well, that's true. But it's just good that they're making a stand. I'd put it argue also that Nürburgring don't have a lot to lose, especially if they can't afford to host the race as it currently is.
News and views. We've got just a little bit of politics this week. We try and avoid it as much as possible.
What?
But Jean Todt confirmed he'd be standing for the FIA presidency against Ari Vatanen, with Max Mosley backing Jean all the way.
Hmm.
Actually, Ari wasn't too impressed with Mr. Mosley's public support of another candidate.
Go on, what did he have to say on the subject?
He said, Jean Todt represents the old era, and it's not right that Max wants to impose a new leader and that he uses the power of the Federation to support his campaign. The FIA is not a kingdom. It's a republic where the leaders are chosen democratically.
Have I ever said how much I like Ari?
I think we did, but it's worth saying again. He also said, at Ferrari, they don't want Todt to be president, and so they have told me, because they think the sport would lose credibility. The same would happen if it was Ross Brawn or Flavio Briatore running. The president of the FIA must be someone neutral.
I'd be amazed if the motoring club supported Todt, because I thought they were all against Formula One taking over the FIA, and I thought they were against them losing their power. So it's a surprising choice for Max to put forward for the presidency, and I can see this one backfiring.
Would Jean Todt be all about F1 then?
Well, you'd imagine. I mean, he's done rallying and he's done various other bits within motorsport, but primarily he is an F1 guy. He knows how F1 works, and you would think he would be fighting for Formula One's corner, which, bizarrely enough, is not actually what we want.
We really do like Ari, especially because he connects with the fans.
Mm. Oh, he does. He sent a letter to Fofa.
Well, yeah, Le Biowell, one of our longtime commenters, he started up the Formula One Fans Association, or FOFA. I'm not sure whether we've talked about it before.
Big fans of it, though.
But the website is formulaonefansassociation.blogspot.com. Rolls off the tongue easily, that one. Le Biowell is chairman, and the association's main goal is to get the sport listening to the fans. They wrote an email to Ari, and he actually replied.
Awesome.
He said, "The friends of our great sport!" exclamation mark. Thank you for your encouragements for this battle of spirits. It went straight to my heart because you are the foundation of our family. Unfortunately, you can't vote officially, but you can let your feelings become known. With friendly regards, Ari Vatanen.
How cool is that?
That's amazing. Max would never do anything like that.
The only thing that would make him Ari better in my eyes is if he finished it with LOL. That's the only other thing.
Smiley face.
He could not be more down with the kids than emailing Fofa. I love that. And
I didn't know the FIA knew what email was, so he would be... a spark of inspiration.
He's
for
already kicked them into the modern era.
With the politics seemingly on hold, or we're just not interested in it, one or the other, it's all about silly season.
It's finally kicked into gear. We've been waiting a very long time for this. Silly season has been delayed, but finally we're up and running.
We're getting there. So last week we talked about the fact that Bordet certainly wasn't going to have a race seat anymore. And Toro Rosso confirmed that they were dropping him for not Seb. And by all accounts, he's not very happy about it.
No, he's threatening legal action.
Well, Toro Rosso said, in Sebastian's second year with us, the partnership has not met our expectations, and therefore we have decided to replace him as from the next round of the World Championship. No surprises there. But Bordet hit back with, I consider that in doing so, Toro Rosso has breached its contractual duties towards me. Also, I believe that nothing in my behaviour would legitimise a decision of the team to terminate the contract. And apparently his lawyers are looking into it.
Yeah, he also went on to say that he knew nothing of this happening, which I find is slightly bizarre, because didn't his wife announce on Speed TV that he definitely, the last race would definitely be his last race?
It was coming out from a lot of different sources, and so I can't believe he had no idea.
We knew... The news rumours knew, his wife knew, the team knew. He even said goodbye to everybody on the pit wall, yet still claims that it was all news to him.
He is even more annoyed because they're doing it now rather than waiting until he has the benefit of the new upgrades at the next race.
That is,
so he's not having a fair chance.
That is unfortunate timing, but it'll take months to make the most of those updates, and I don't think STR really have the ability to do it. I do notice in the comments that Bassano said, wasn't Bordet contractually obliged to be fast? Which I would say all Formula One drivers are, and he wasn't, unfortunately. Although it hasn't stopped Piquet thus far.
Well, talking of Piquet, the rumour mill went crazy, suggesting that Renault were about to kick him out as well. But this turns out to not be the case. Autosport reports that there was a clause in his contract that meant it could have been the end of his season. But Flav has said the Brazilian will remain in the seat for Hungary, at least.
One more race, at least. Mind you, how many times in the past 18 months have we said, well, this is his last drive, he's really going this time, only to find that he turns up at the next race in the car. So, I don't know. I don't know what Renault would gain by getting rid of him at this point in the season. He sort of looks like he's picking up his game a little bit. And we're not really sure who's he got lined up.
Yeah, it depends what the future is, what they've got planned. If they're going to get someone new in next time, or if they're even going to be about next year. So.
Well, that's always going to be an issue. But I think the consensus seems to be that Piquet probably deserves another race or more. And probably he'll be there till the end of the season. But we shall see.
There are also unsubstantiated rumours that Pedro de la Rosa could get a drive with Campos for next year, and that McLaren might release him early to do some testing and things with them. We traced these rumours back to AS.com, and they don't seem to have any sources, just that they have heard this could happen. I hope it's true, because I would like to say pedalo a lot.
You like the idea of him racing next year.
Experience, just so I can say pedalo.
Experience will count. It will be important with such a restricted amount of testing. They're not allowed to test now, are they, until the new year?
Mm-hmm.
And presumably, if teams are signed up into the 2010 regulations already, they are stuck with testers. So you're going to need experienced drivers in 2010, and Pedalo certainly fits that bill.
The AS story was in Spanish, so we asked Guile to translate it for us, but we also ran it through Google Translate to see what they came up with.
Go on.
And it said, the Field Goal team works to have next year a perfect cocktail of pilots, and now already have one, the principal, the man who must pull the cart, Pedro de la Rosa.
Do they not have an engine?
Pull the cart like a horse.
Goodness me. It's going to be like the Flintstones.
Yeah.
He's going to be in that car running like crazy.
Awesome.
Then that's great.
And on the subject of the new teams, Danica has again said she doesn't want to be in F1. US F1 can go away, she's not interested. Last time she said she didn't want to travel, and this time she's expanded on that theory. She said, I've had opportunities to take it a step further with Formula One, and I don't want to lead anyone down a path. It's not in my heart to go there. I've explored Europe before.
Right, she's an explorer now.
Well, apparently. But that's interesting, because she doesn't mention Australia or Brazil or Abu Dhabi or China or Japan. She's been to Europe, though.
I don't like the idea of anybody leading me down a path who wants to be an explorer and doesn't know that Formula One races outside Europe. That concerns me. So are we going to just strike that one off? Do you think that's going to happen, or do you think she's playing for more money?
I don't know really, but everything she says has been like, I don't want to travel, I don't want to leave the US, I like what I'm doing here. So if she is trying to bargain, it's a very negative way of doing it.
I don't know, there's funny people who live over the sea.
Yeah. Supposedly, and this has nothing to do with F1, so I don't know what I'm talking about, but she might be leaving Andretti Green Racing at the end of this season. And I know of a driver who has links with that team, but for the ALMS series.
Right. A tenuous link.
Yeah.
At best.
If there's a gap going for an open wheel driver, I know someone who could fill that gap.
Would that person be Frank Montagny?
Yeah.
Perchance. Now, interestingly, didn't Frank have a Champ Car drive before Champ Car merged with IRL?
He did, yes.
But that wasn't with AGR, was it?
I think it was with Forsyth Racing, and they didn't want to join the merger.
Ah.
So his drive was lost.
Right. So his team vanished. But now he has links with AGR, and they may have an open seat in 2010. Do you have your fingers crossed for him?
I really do, especially because he's lovely and left a comment on my iheartfrank.com blog.
Was that this week? That seems like a very long time ago.
It was very recently, yes.
Frank is awesome. We got to give a quick plug to Frank because Formula One drivers, leave in your comments.
Ex-Formula One drivers.
Ex-Formula One drivers, leave in your comments. That's impressive. I was floored when he did that, so... Hats off to Frank.
Yeah, it was amazing. Anyway, back to the silly season. Autosport say that Nick Heidfeld and Rubens Barrichello are talking to Williams, which would be interesting, whilst Nico is rumoured to be going to BMW. So Nico and Nick doing a bit of a swap there.
Yeah.
I can't see Nico at BMW.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Do you not think he's going to suit the team?
I don't think his hair would fit in.
It's a bit long.
Yeah.
It's a bit long and a bit shiny. I can see, Nick...
Not quite beardy enough, is he?
Is that what the problem is?
You can't replace Nick.
Do you think he can grow a beard?
Maybe.
Do you think it's possible for Nico to grow a beard? I do think that Nick would go well at Williams. He was there before, but I don't know whether or not he left under good terms with Frank, because he ran off to BMW as soon as they set up their team. So that's an interesting one if he's thinking about going back. Rubens...
If they're both in talks with Williams, that means that Williams are looking for a proper experienced... driver, aren't they?
I don't know, really. It's all speculation. You don't know what they're talking about. What's peculiar to me is that Rubens thinks he's going to get a drive somewhere for next year. I find that amazing. But, you know, maybe he will. Maybe he'll turn it around. Maybe he'll end up at Williams. What it almost says is that Frank's looking for two drivers.
Who can blame him? We've also got Autosport sources saying that Kimi rejected an approach by Toyota, as you would, so they're settling for Trulli again.
Right.
Which you would not.
Stability... Well, look how long it took them to get rid of Ralph. For years and years, they kept hold of the guy when we said he should be gone and had no basis for remaining in the team. So if Trulli's doing a reasonable job, I don't see them getting rid of him in a hurry either. So is it going to be Glock and Trulli at Toyota next year?
I think it must be. I don't see Kimi moving to another team, though, really. I kind of imagine that he's at Ferrari, and then if he's not at Ferrari, he's not racing anywhere else.
Depends.
He'll go to another series or something.
Depends, really. I mean, you could see that if he got a big pay offer from another team, plus there was severance pay from Ferrari, that would bolster his pocket money a little bit, wouldn't it? Ted News makes a return.
There it is.
It's been so long.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't sound too happy to hear its return?
I do not like the jingle.
Oh, really?
I never have done.
I think we need that just one more time.
You know, I'm really not happy with Ted being relegated to the BBC Mole blog. He needs a blog of his own.
Yeah, if ever there was a man who needed a blog, it was Ted. Mind you, finally, by getting Ted onto the Mole blog, it's at least showing signs of being mole-ish.
Well, that's true. I don't subscribe to the Mole blog out of principle.
What, that so is blooming annoying?
It's not a Mole blog. So you had to tell me that there was Ted News.
And it was fantastic.
Well,
was
you say...
like old Ted came back for a visit.
You say fantastic. I mean, it was little snippets that are interesting.
That's what makes Ted News fantastic.
I don't know if fantastic is the word. But okay, we've got Ferrari. They're still blowing the cost-cutting thing out of the water because apparently they've hired two people simply to clean the gaps at the front of the car for debris.
With feather dusters.
Well, it doesn't say feather dusters,
that's
but
what
you,
it means.
You like to think that they are feather
I
dusters.
I like the idea that they've paid two grown men to stand in the pit lane with feather dusters and just give the car a bit of a brush.
Well, Ted says it shows how sensitive the cars are to running in dirty air.
Is that right?
And I guess that's an excuse for
doesn't sound,
hiring two cleaners.
Doesn't sound like a wonderful cost-cutting measure.
No.
I mean, I know cleaners aren't the most expensive personnel in the world, but that is two more pay packets that you've got to justify, and all they do is clean the front wing, which does seem remarkably silly to me. But thank you to Ted for pointing that
well,
out.
Well, it also seems a bit odd because there are a lot of people involved in pit stops anyway, and the more people we have, the more chaos there is, the more chance someone might get hurt.
That's also true. Maybe
you've got like six people bundling in at the front instead of four.
Mm.
It's going to make a difference.
You know what I'd like to see is somebody out there with a Henry the Hoover. Hoover in the side pods. You know the thing with the face on it following them around? That would be awesome. Two Henry the Hoovers, one each side. Side pod A, side pod B.
He also pointed out that Mark Webber gets really thirsty in the press conferences. And in Germany, he practically had the whole glass of orange, whatever it is, to himself, the whole jug.
The energy drink.
Yeah.
The unnamed energy drink in this case. But we don't think it's our unnamed energy drink.
No, a different one. So that's something to look out for if you like that kind of thing, I guess.
I do. I like the idea that most drivers take a bit of a sip and Webber drinks the lot.
So we've got lots of lovely feedback today. I've had lots of emails this week. The first one is from Tom. He says, "Hi folks, love the show. Been listening in for a year or so now. Anyway, I've created the following as a spectator aid for watching the race, f1racecharts.com. I won't bore you with the details here as the website explains it a lot better, but it basically helps you to work out who's fighting for championship position throughout the field. Hope it's of use, Tom."
Lots of lovely graphs from Tom. Big fan of F1 race charts. I would say they were slightly difficult to read. I don't know if Tom's listened to this, but just a bit of feedback for him. I couldn't see. There's a lot of branding on the graphs, and I struggled to see past the big logo, which was quite fancy. But that's just a little bit of a tip for Tom there.
A tip for Tom.
Side pod tip.
Another sort of statistics website we came across this week was race-database.com.
Is this the one that turned up in the comments?
Yeah, which is basically a lot of numbers. A lot.
Yes. Pat in the comments got really excited about this one. And he's done this in the past. He's tried to collect information. And he said that tons of work has gone into this site.
Well, it's not just F1 either. It's all NASCAR and Champ Car and all kinds of things.
Yeah. So that's definitely worth a plug. And again, we'll put links in the show notes because that's got to be checked out. If you want any information on anything that's happened in the past, regarding pretty much any racing series at all, this is a great site to go to. A wonderful resource.
This next one was actually a comment because it's from Christopher and he said he couldn't find an email address. So we need to make that a bit more obvious.
I know somebody else who complained this week that they couldn't find your email address.
Well, yeah, that was Frank because he sent a message to me on the wiki. Yes. He actually had to sign up to the wiki and send a message.
Poor Frank, he looked all around our website for some way to contact you and he couldn't do it. No. So he created himself a wiki profile and then contacted you privately via that.
Yeah.
We really have to sort this website out. So apologies to Frank and apologies to Chris.
Yeah, because we mentioned earlier that Frank left a comment on iHeartFrank.com, but he also sent me this message in the wiki, and I wanted to share it with you because it's actually to all of us, really. It says, "Hey, just a quick one. I'm in Toronto spending time with AGR people, and I was surfing a bit on the internet, and I find it's sidepodcast.com. So after a couple of minutes looking for a contact email..." Mr. C, sort that out.
Oops.
"Just to drop a few words to say thanks for the support. It's really cool to read your stuff and it's a really nice thing to feel your support on those live commenting. Anyway, thanks and I'll try to push a bit more next time I'm behind the wheel just to put a smile on your face. That's all, Frank." So I think that was to all of us.
Incredible is that?
That's amazing.
Next time Frank's in the car, he's going to drive harder.
Because he knows we're all supporting him.
And following him. That's just incredible. Thank you, Frank. And also, back to the original email from Chris.
So Chris says, "Hello, Side Podcast. Firstly, thanks for all your fantastic work. I enjoy the Side Podcast immensely. I particularly like your chats with Joe Saywood. He has been my preferred F1 writer for many years now, and it's great to hear his elaborations on his views. I just wanted to let you in on an extraordinary and unique experience I had 23 years after attending my first GP in Adelaide, and I'm only 28, watching this weekend's German GP. Here in Australia, most of the races occur and are televised, often delayed, in the middle of the night, something like watching an American race from the UK or Europe, I assume. The result of this is that spending the small hours of Monday morning watching GPs on your own can give you the impression that you are the only person in the Southern Hemisphere who's interested in F1.
Oh.
Webber's win this weekend changed that. I don't remember Alan Jones winning his last race. It seems I was otherwise occupied on that occasion, being only 1 year old. This was the first time I have seen an Australian win a GP, which was quite satisfying. But I must say the greatest moment was when Webber crossed the line and I heard a man in the apartment block next to me shouting, hooting and whistling with riotous joy. Think Webber's own reaction, but at 1 a.m. on a Monday morning. This continued for some time and arose each time there was a replay of Mark crossing the line and even when he appeared at the press conference.
Awesome.
I have often thought that Mark used a career's worth of luck at his first race, finishing fifth in a Minardi that had lost its traction control and had since become accustomed to his dubious fortunes. I was delighted to know there was someone right next door to me watching the race who had obviously not succumbed to as great a level of cynicism as myself. Cheers, Christopher."
That's brilliant.
The only thing that would make that better is if they got together and had beers.
Oh, they should do that. They must do that now. They have, yeah, now they have this in common. They have F1 in common. So for the next race, you should knock on the door. Mind you, 1 a.m, that would be a bit...
It is a bit awkward.
Hmm. How would you go about that? I heard you screaming last time, Webber's name.
Yeah.
Do you want to come and watch the race? Yeah, no, that may not work. I like it, though. I love it. Thank you, Christopher.
Next, we have word from Steve in the UK, who we haven't heard from for ages.
How is Steve?
He says, hi, Christine. Sorry I haven't been able to join you for the live comments lately, but not been around much during the days since we all met up in London. Hope you and Mr. C are doing well. Thought you two and some of the others from the SidePod community would be interested in this event, an evening with Sir Stirling Moss. Now, this sounds amazing. Sir Stirling Moss will be in conversation with Murray Walker on the 1st of October 2009 at the Royal Automobile Club in Pall Mall.
I want to go.
It costs £110.
I don't want to go that much.
Per person. And you have to wear a suit or a dress.
I don't own a suit or a dress. Goodness me. I can't go.
£110 for the privilege of wearing a suit. There you go.
Is Steve in the UK going to this?
I don't think so. I think he just wanted to share.
Goodness me. Well, okay, so if anybody does have £110 per person to spare.
And a suit or a dress.
Or a lounge suit, even. Not just any old
a lounge suit or a cocktail dress, it says.
I know somebody in the comments who might have one of those. But with what they have to do, you can... Well, I tell you what we want is a representative from the Side Podcast to go on our behalf.
Yes.
That's what we need.
Our richest listener.
Should invite themselves along and tell us exactly what happens, because it does sound interesting, but well out of our reach.
Anyway, Steve continues, oh, I'm still working on the 24-hour HPV project, although it has now been extended to 1,000 miles, so about 34 to 36 hours. I really need to learn to say no. We're also going to try and get a female TV presenter to use the vehicle for an attempt on the Women's World Records for the 1-hour, 24-hour, 1,000-kilometre and speed records, so that will be 9 world records in all.
No wonder he's not been around.
No. Just waiting still for the director of fundraising at the British Heart Foundation to get back to me, then it looks like we'll be approaching Red Bull Racing to help out with advice for the carbon Kevlar work. The vehicle itself has got slightly longer, but it's even more aero efficient now. Sorry, running out of time here, but I will try and send you more info on the project as soon as the British Heart Foundation are happy. Take care and please give Mr. C a big hug from me. Thanks, Steve.
Oh, Steve. Just as a quick reminder, his HPV project is the bike. He turned up when we had the SidePod meetup in London. He brought a scale model of it along to the pub. And I think we talked about it on the show. Essentially, it's a high performance vehicle. It's an eco-friendly vehicle, I think. So I guess he's still working on it. That's incredible. And look at the number of world records he's going for. That's quite a shock. But thanks to Steve for that update.
Something a little bit different now. Dear Christine, as someone who was left in awe of your international F1-related hit, Felipe Baby, earlier this year, I felt that you should be one of the first to hear my little Kaiser Chiefs cover, inspired by but obviously inferior to your master reworking of a classic. It's been on my mind for some time, but the way Barras is going, he may not be in F1 much longer, so I thought I'd better get on with it, and Rubinho's latest post-race outburst gave me the obvious opportunity to strike.
Can we hear a little bit of it? Let it never be said that Barrichello is dead. The demon's still driving round, occupying his head, despite him wearing no straps that help him to breathe. He's convinced there's a plot, not to help him succeed. Ruby, 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 Ruby! Blah, 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 blah.
That is from Ferrari Stew, whose website is theratter.com.
I love it. I love that you've inspired a generation of kids to start making these Formula One songs now. What have I done? I don't know. What do you make of the singing on that track?
Well, I think it's a bit mean to poor Rubens.
It's a little bit harsh.
He just had a little bit of an outburst and there you go.
He was a bit emotional.
Yeah. But it's a great idea and I like to see this kind of creativity.
Good stuff. And if you want to hear the whole thing, there will, as ever, be a link in the show notes. Do check it out on sidepodcast.com.
I had a really short email this week from Carlos, who said, hi guys, just wanted to let you know that I did notice the improved omnibus transitions and it made it much better to listen to. I would greatly prefer the new format over the old.
Excellent. And also in the comments, Pisano said he approved too, and I think it was him who originally...
It was his fault in the first place.
He highlighted the flaw in your production skills.
Yes.
And he approves of what you've done. So in the future, will it always be done that way now?
It will, yes. I'm not going back and doing the old ones though.
Okay. And when is the next miniseries due? During the break?
No idea.
You're not going to need us any kind of tantalising tidbit of information?
Usually when I give you a date, it changes. So what's the point?
Okay. Soon-ish.
My last email is from Cameron. He says, I've been listening to your podcast since the start of the year and have enjoyed it immensely. Keep up the good work. A bit saddened by the departure of Sebastian Bourdais. I just can't shake the belief that he never got a fair opportunity. But reading Joe Sayward's article, perhaps I'm just being a little naive. Nonetheless, when I started seeing the speculation of Jaime Alguersuari driving for Toro Rosso along with headshots, only one thing came to mind. What F1 really needs right now is more drivers who wear eyeshadow. I mean, really, just change the hair and he could pass for a Robert Smith lookalike in a Cure tribute band.
I had not noticed that.
Best wishes, Cameron in Denver, Colorado.
Cameron, that's brilliant. I'm gonna have to look again. Goodness me, more eyeshadow, please. They're absolutely. I would say there's been plenty of talk in the comments this past week of just how bad a team Toro Rosso are at managing drivers and how many careers they've managed to completely kibosh.
It does seem they go through drivers quite quickly.
Yeah, it's not. It's probably the team, the worst team to be driving for in Formula One at the moment, and sadly. That's exactly where Sebastian Bourdais was.
But then the flip side of that is they give people an opportunity. A lot of drivers have gone through there, but then a lot of drivers have had a chance that they might not otherwise have had.
Yeah, they do. But the problem is they have Red Bull have this young driver program, which they have to try and justify the cost of and prove that, you know, it does get people into Formula One. And what you end up with is Toro Rosso in a position whereby they have to use these Red Bull Junior drivers who often aren't very good, and they have to keep making way to squeeze them in because that's where the money's coming from and that's really what their role is. And I suspect that's probably why Berger left when he had the opportunity to this year, because in the end, the driver choice just wasn't good enough. And I suspect with the loss of Berger, that's probably, you know, what did it for Bourdais. Is that the last of your emails?
That's all I've got. What have you got?
That's a lot of feedback there. We love the feedback.
Absolutely. Keep it coming.
Christine@sidepodcast.com. Lacking in voicemails this week.
Yeah. 012128 track. That's 012128872225.
Just crushed my chat. I was going to do that bit.
No, you do the side podcast bit.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
That's side podcast on Skype.
Yep.
Doesn't seem anywhere near as exciting as your bit.
Well, I get the good stuff.
Goodness me. Okay, so no voicemails this week, but we want more for next week, please, because we love them. But thank you for all the emails. One more thing I've got to do. Got to give a quick shout out to Steve Dawson, a new name to me, haven't come across him before, but apparently he does F1, he presents the F1 for Star Sports Asia Channel.
He's the Jake Humphrey.
That's true, yes. And there has been some criticism from some parts of the F1 blogosphere for their coverage, but apparently Steve is one of the better ones. So a quick shout out to him. He actually gave us, he left a lovely message on Twitter. He said, Side Podcast is charming for F1 fans, a perky girly, a petrol head boily, both of which are sweet, and lengthy asides from Joe Sawyer. So thanks to Steve Dawson. He said he'd give us a shout out on Star Sports Asia. So we'll give him one back.
That's very kind. I do not approve of the words girly and boily.
I like it.
I don't.
He's wrong. I'm not a petrol head. And know nothing about petrol, as we learned
last
week.
I'm not a girly either.
No. But apart from those two issues you have with that.
it's very kind, and we do appreciate it.
Yes, he said he presents F1... to viewers across Asia on Star Sports, and he's going to give us a shout out. So there you go. Thank you to Steve Dawson. We're fans already.
You know, a while ago I used to transcribe this show.
You did, but it was a long, long, long while ago, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. The show's got longer and longer, which meant they took longer to transcribe, and also that I had less time to do it.
Right. And also we did more shows, which didn't help, like 2.5 hour side pod chats. Which
yes.
Were pretty much killed any hope of transcribing ever, if I recall.
Absolutely. So what we've done is thrown it open to the SidePod audience.
And what a response.
I can't believe I didn't do this sooner.
Seriously, we've had an awesome, awesome, amazing response from everybody in the comments who have just taken to this like ducks to water. They've just grabbed the transcripts and look what they've produced. Loads of transcripts in the past week.
I thought that transcribing was, I mean, I quite enjoy it, but I can't do that much of it. Because I get bored easily, but I thought it was just something that I would like. But apparently, this is not a unique thing.
As a poor typist, I don't see the appeal of this.
No.
I would really struggle.
I think also people quite like listening back to old shows as well.
I'm not a fan of people listening back to old shows quite so intensely.
No.
Picking up on
listening every single word.
Word really slowly and then writing it down.
You're just making it easy for them there, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely, because at some point somebody's going to come along and presumably transcribe this.
Yeah, so what
which is going to be weird.
What we've done is on the wiki, there is a page that lists all the shows that need transcribing, and people can sign up for each one.
And they have done already. Plenty of people have already signed up.
Yep, we've already had completed ones from Amy, Rachel, and James, and an unknown one.
Anonymous.
Yeah, it was left on Dropio, and I don't know who transcribed it, but it was excellent. We've also got RG, Jackie, Scott, Alex, and Lou have signed up for...
They're already working on
transcripts.
This is just, what a great response.
I mean, the thing is, even if people only do a little bit, that's more than I would have done. You don't have to do a whole show, just do 10 minutes of a show.
In the comments, Andy says he can't believe that you're recommending to people to listen back to old shows. You don't like the archives, if I recall.
Well, the thing is, I don't like the archives at all. And this transcription business is making you not like the archives. So can you imagine what it's doing to me? But every transcript that people do is saving me hours of work.
Of course.
So I am happy.
And if anybody else out there is a quick typist and doesn't mind listening back to every word we say and transcribing them, then please sign up for the wiki. Grab a spare one, pick up a transcript that no one's got already, and help us, because it's really, really, really appreciated.
Like I say, you don't have to do a whole one to yourself. You can share it out amongst people, because the one that James did, he couldn't finish it, unfortunately. So I did the last hour or so, I think it was. And as a joint effort, we got it done.
Grand job. I should just also add that we don't just do this for fun. There is a good reason for transcribing podcasts. It's it makes it accessible to anybody who maybe can't listen or watch any of the shows we produce.
Well, there are two reasons that we do it. The first one, like you say, is accessibility and making the shows available to anyone, even if they don't want to listen to them.
Absolutely. And there are plenty of people that do subscribe to just the transcript feed. There are, I think, over 100 people who transcribe to that.
But what do they do with them?
We don't know. Actually, I was going to ask people, if you listen to the show and you subscribe to the SciPodcast transcript feed, what do you do with your transcripts when you've got them? Do you read them? Do you leave them for searching?
Because we've got them all available on the site. I'm curious what you do with the feed.
Yeah, a very long time, I think about 10 people subscribed to that feed, and then it seems to have sort of exploded since the beginning of this year. So clearly they're popular. But I'm curious as to how they get used. I know what we use them for.
Yes.
We use it to search for past.
The second reason, accessibility. The second reason is searching for things that we have said, because it's very difficult to search through audio, much easier to search through actual words.
Yeah, so I assume that's what people are doing, although I'm not sure. So if you download them, please get in touch. Leave us a comment. Send Christine an email, christine@sidepodcast.com, and do let us know what you're doing with your podcast transcripts.
At the end of last week's show, you talked about SciPod Radio. You mentioned it very briefly at the end, like a good teaser.
Yes.
Now, actually, it's not happening yet, but there is SciPod Radio coming soon.
It was going to happen this weekend, and then I forgot. However, there is a long break coming up.
Yeah.
Nothing going on. Apparently, you think Formula One's going to be boring during this break.
I said that, yes.
So we're going to have to make it interesting.
We've got Hungary, we've got a break, and we've got Valencia.
That does sound boring. I have to admit, none of that sounds particularly enticing. However, we can make it interesting with SciPod Radio, and that's what we're going to do, I believe. On Sunday the 2nd is the day I currently have penciled into the calendar. It's a free day, and we're planning to do, something like 12 hours of live streaming Formula One radio? Is that what's going to happen?
I don't know. I think 12 hours might be pushing it. But what we're doing is people are suggesting shows that they might want to make, and they'll submit them, and we'll do some live stuff, and we'll see how long it takes.
So pre-recorded and live shows on the subject of Formula One, or vaguely related to Formula One stuff.
I imagine most of it will be similar to the parade lap in that it's tenuously related to Formula One.
Okay.
But also fun and games as well.
And if you have nothing to do on Sunday the 2nd of August, just come along to sidepodcast.com, and there will be a streaming video all day. At least 12 hours. We could do more than 12 hours.
Well, I guess if we don't get enough in, it will just be us talking for 12 hours.
Have I volunteered us for that?
I think you may have.
We may need help. If you've ever wanted to be a DJ, here is your chance. We can give you airtime. We can give you a show. Pre-recorded or live, we can sort out. Come along and let us know in the comments, and there'll be some kind of discussion on the wiki and people signing up for shows and stuff. I blame Alex for this. You know that, don't you?
Well, it was RG's idea.
And I blame RG
But then Alex made it real, because he dropio'd a sort of half-hour music show, which we'll link to in the show notes.
He made a pilot.
He made a little pilot for us, and we loved it so much that now we're going to do it for real.
Goodness me. Okay, so that's got to be worth tuning into. There is this whole Hungary thing going on before that.
Yeah.
But that's not really interesting.